Welcome to our program. We are in Nehemiah chapter 7 today. Have your Bible ready. Chapter 7, verse number 1. Now it came to pass, when the wall was built, that I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani, and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man, and feared God above many. And I said unto them, Let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, every one to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. And my God put it into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers, and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first, and found written therein, These are the children of the province that went up out of captivity, of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and came again to Jerusalem and to Judah, every one unto his city. It's an interesting portion of scripture here. It is actually in chapter 7, a pivotal point in the book of Nehemiah. For the first six chapters, they have been rebuilding the place. However, as we begin chapter 8 through chapter 13, they are rebuilding the people. Now, it's hopeless to try and rebuild the people if you don't have the walls. It says here, in verse number 1, it came to pass when the wall was built. Building the wall was simply a means to an end. It wasn't a thing where we say, well, let's build this wall and then we're all done. We got a real pretty city here and we got a wall around it. No, that was simply a means to the end. Now they could get to work on the real project, which was the people. And so it says here, it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed. It says in verse 2, he gave his brother charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man, and he feared God above many. Then he said in verse 3, don't let the gates be open until the sun be hot, and then shut the doors when they need to be shut, bar them, and appoint watches in the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. You need to be building some walls here. We need walls in our homes. Keep the elements out that shouldn't be coming in. Boy, they're flooding in these days by means of computers and flooding in by means of television and cell phones and just destroying our homes. Well, we see here in this portion of scripture that Nehemiah is concerned about preserving their national identity. And they're going to do that partly by proper worship, which is the foundation for the city. And so Nehemiah sets up the doors, and the porters are gatekeepers. And then he says he set up the singers. We cannot overestimate how much the devil has used music in recent years to destroy what God would call a proper worship service. In fact, we don't even know what worship is anymore. We also see here that he set up the gatekeepers, the porters, the singers, and the Levites. Now, the Levites, most were priests. Those that were not priests were given various duties as caretakers of the tabernacle and the furnishings within the tabernacle. And so he set up his brother here in the importance of leadership. We see that he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Now, this word faithful has been translated truth 92 times. He was a truth man. It has been translated true 18 times. He focused on what was true. And second, it says, he feared God above many. From verse number 7 all the way down through to verse number 63, we have a bunch of names, name after name after name after name, and how many of them were doing this, and their name of this one, and the name of that one, and you got to look at it and say, who cares? I'll tell you who cares. God cares. He knows the name of every single one of them. He knows how many hairs are on your head. God cares about the individuals. In John chapter 10, Jesus said that he calleth his own sheep by name. He calleth them by name. He knows the individuals. We see here also that there is an important focus on family groups that are listed if you read it down through this chapter. Families are the foundation of society. As goes the family, so goes society. Families are also the foundation of every local church. No church is any stronger than the families that are represented in that church. You might have a large number of people sitting in church on Sunday morning. You say, well, that's a great church. Look how many people there are. That church is only as strong as the families that are represented in it. They're not strong because they have a lot of numbers and they have a lot of parking lot that is paved and padded pews and a big building. Well, we see as we go down through here that men are named. Men are to be God's leaders. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. It says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In 1 Timothy 3:12, he said, let the deacons be husbands. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, let the pastor be the husband of one wife. If you study the Bible, you'll see that God has a very valuable position for ladies in the church, very valuable position, but the leaders in the church, God-given leaders, are men. Another thing we need to realize as we proceed through this book of Nehemiah is that the lessons that are here are for the remnant. We read in Nehemiah 1 and verse number 3, the remnant that are left of the captivity in the province are in great affliction and reproach. God has always had a remnant. We go all the way back to Noah. There was not very many of them. 8 of them got on the boat. There was a remnant. That was 4,000 B.C. Then Gideon had a remnant. That brings us up to 1,400 B.C. And then Isaiah, he said, if it hadn't been for a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. That was 700 B.C. Here in Nehemiah, he has a remnant, and that's 445 B.C. Then in Jesus' day, he said in Luke 12 and 32, fear not, little flock. And as you look into the early church, you'll find that they had a remnant. 7 times, you'll find that they talked about the church that was in their house. Acts 8 and 3, it says, Saul made havoc of the church, entering every house and hauling men and women and committing them to prison. Romans 16 and 5, the church that is in their house. 1 Corinthians 16:19, the church that was in their house. Colossians 4:15, the church that was in his house. Philemon 1 and 2, the church in thy house. And on it goes. The churches were small. Now, that doesn't mean they were a disgruntled group of people getting together and having a little Bible study and calling it a church because they're upset with the leadership. That's not what it's talking about here. They had pastors. They had deacons. It was established the way God wanted it to be, but the churches were small. God always had a remnant. And in Romans 11, verse number 5, we read that it says, even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant. In Revelation 3 and 4, as we get to the end of the age in those 7 churches, it says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Well, we might ask ourselves the question, who is a part of that remnant? Well, it's very simple. It's those who choose to be a part of it. It says in Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 9, God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We have set before us, all of us, we have life or death, good or evil, light or darkness, truth or lies, love or selfishness, trust or doubt, Christ or Satan. We have to choose. There's no middle ground. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Well, you say, well, I choose not to choose anything. Well, there is no middle ground. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus said in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He said in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And so he says, I put before you life and death. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And so we see the remnant is always a small remnant. Isaiah said, had not been for the very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been as Gomorrah. Nehemiah 2:12, he said, I and some few men. Nehemiah 7:4, the people are few. Jeremiah 42:2 says, pray for us, even for all this remnant, for we are left a few among many. Matthew 7:14, few there be that find it. Matthew 9:37, the laborers are few. Luke 10:22, the laborers are few. 1 Peter 3:20, Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. And Jesus said concerning the church at Sardis in Revelation 3:4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. So how do you get to be part of this remnant? Well, Adam and Eve, they both of them simply chose. Cain and Abel, both of them simply chose. Enoch chose to walk with God. Abraham chose to obey God without question, and Sarah chose to follow her husband. Daniel chose the den of lions rather than be disobedient to the truth. The 3 Hebrew children chose the furnace for the same reason. Every person on earth chooses. You look at the 7 pastors in the 7 churches in Revelation, they all made their choices. Every father makes the choices every day. Every pastor makes his choices every day. And Nehemiah, he made a lot of choices in this little book of 13 chapters, and his choices were founded on the Word of God. We would all do well to ask ourselves, on what are my choices founded?